This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Billy, I need your help. I need to put some pressure on you here to get the stink off me from the big suey that we did today. Some serious sports discussion went on, and we talked for way too long about a Tua who has played six games. So save me, rescue my mood. Rescue me with your useless sound montage. How do you feel about it this week?
Who is
coming right out of the box here? I need to get that hour off of me.
We've never done this in the first segment. I mean,
let's do it off of the biggest the biggest game of the season was played last night. The biggest game the Cleveland Browns have played this century, and everyone's calling it the game of the year. But before we get to that, I need to hear some useless sound. Set it up, Billy.
And I'll tell you this, this year's useless sound, some of it's been good, some of it's been bad. Last week wasn't great, and that's on me. But I'll tell you this, I've noticed a trend this season on something that's been going on, and I've been keeping little notes waiting for the right moment to unleash it. And this is the week that we're going to unleash something I've been tracking for weeks.
All right. And that's the only hint you're going to give us? You're not going to give us? We're going to discover it together when we listen to it?
I dropped another hint earlier, but you didn't catch it. See if you catch it.
All right, let's see.
Whenever you lose, everyone in the organization takes blame. And so Adam's going to say it's his fault. I'm going to say it's my fault. Because we all understand that we can all do a better job when we lose.
Tonight, I feel like I would try to look and see where the fault lies. And today, I'd put it squarely on us as a staff, which starts with me.
I'm obviously disappointed that, and it's on me, that we play the way we did today.
We just didn't play the way we're capable of playing. Everyone's got to do a lot better, and it starts with me.
We did not respond quickly enough or well enough, and it starts with me, and I got to be better.
You're just not going to win games or be in games when you turn the ball over, and that's on me.
We all have a lot to improve on, starting with me.
We still can be a lot better, and starts with me.
The first one was 100% on me.
At the end of the day, we just got to get it done, and that's on me.
It starts with me. I need to be better.
Well, we got to do a better job. It goes back to me.
I have to do way better. I can't let him get hit like that.
We got to be better, and it starts with me.
No one played great. That always starts with me.
Just not good football. It starts with me.
That's on all of us, and it starts with me.
I intercepted it, and that's on me.
I need to be better. We need to be better.
I put that on myself.
I put that on me.
That's on me.
We need to surround him with better players, and that's on me.
I don't have a crystal ball. I can't predict the future.
We got to win more possession downs and thus possess the ball more and give us more opportunities. The more snaps you get, the more opportunities you get to make some of the dynamic plays that you suggest. It starts first with staying on schedule and possessing the ball.
Roles have changed, but preparation hasn't.
We got to possess the ball better. We got to score more points on offense. Got tough as attrition set in. We got to find a way to collect ourselves and make sufficient plays, and we didn't.
We know to get where we want to go, it's one game at a time.
We made a few plays in the first half. Defensively, they made a few plays. Their plays were more significant than ours.
We got to make more plays than we did today. They made more plays than we did.
We need to go score more points than they do.
You may not use the bathroom or anything in the back, right? There was a lot of talk on social media that you were kind of like jogging, like you had to use the bathroom or something.
No, I was cramping. I ain't putting Paul Pierce. I didn't put Paul Pierce. I was cramping.
All right, so that was the big news of the day in the middle of that game yesterday was, did Lamar Jackson have to poop? He denies having to poop. I did not notice a theme at all in the useless sound montage. Mike Tomlin is there telling you that the Steelers have to do a better job of possessing the ball. Mm-hmm. He says so many, Billy, he says so many words, and it's a bunch of gobbledygook. Like he uses way, you must love him because he's like you. It's just,
love him. I hope he never gets fired.
It's just a bunch of words.
But it all sounds super important. I mean, he's great at that. He really is.
He sounds super coachy. Do the Steelers have to possess the ball better? Put it on the poll at Le Batard Show. Mike, how did you feel when you saw Lamar Jackson running back into that game? For those of you who did not see it last night, Cleveland and Baltimore was a lot of fun. The Browns have not played a game that mattered like that in
forever.
This century. Yeah. They have not played in a game. The Ravens had to save their season. The Ravens had a fourth down situation. I thought the Browns were going to win the game once they rallied, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a position where Lamar Jackson is running back out on the field, and you felt how as a Browns fan watching his team play?
I kind of felt like the game was lost on the Trace McSorley conversion on third and long, and if you can't stop him, obviously when Lamar Jackson comes on, there's literally never been anyone like him with that speed at that position. And I kind of thought he was going to do what the Browns defense thought, which is he's just going to run for it, because every time he's had a third or fourth down, he just scrambles. Sometimes he doesn't even think about passing, and then he throws up that pass. And
it seems like he decided that at the very last second that he wasn't going to run there.
Yeah, and the ball just hung up there, and they took it to the house. But credit to Cleveland. They scored right back. They just scored maybe too quick. And Justin Tucker is a weapon. And that they don't know how good they have it. To be able to know,
he never misses.
I only have to go 20 yards here in 50 seconds with one timeout because I have the greatest to ever do it, which is what Justin Tucker is. It was a bummer. I think Cleveland, the deficiencies for the Browns are glaring. They can get better next year. Hopefully they get healthier.
It's a bad defense unless Myles Garrett is taking the football from you, correct?
Right. Their whole strategy, especially without Denzel Ward, Del Pitt, Harrison, or Greedy Williams, their whole strategy now is, look, we got a terrible back seven. So the front four need to just wreak havoc every time. They need to sack the quarterback. They need to take the ball away from him. And Lamar Jackson will carve you up.
I think what's cool for Mike is Mike has a quarterback. We have taken some shots at Baker Mayfield, but I'll take this from Jake Trotter. The four quarterbacks with a QBR over 70.5 since week 7, Rodgers, Mahomes, Brady, and Mayfield. He had two games in very bad weather, but other than those two games, Baker Mayfield's been great.
Cody, is it wreck havoc or wreak havoc?
It's wreak havoc.
Okay. Yeah, it is, obviously.
I don't mean to correct anyone, but I was asked.
That is correct. You were asked to correct.
I always feel like wreaks havoc just means that he smells.
Oh, I see. You're not spelling it with a W. You're spelling it R-E-E-K-S.
But thank you for the correction. I'll get better.
Has Baker Mayfield indeed, because Stugatz has gone back and forth on this one a few times. He has said that Cleveland has a quarterback. How many times have you done this? You haven't done it as much as I've done it on Kirk Cousins, but I feel like you have done it an awful lot where you go, Baker Mayfield is good. He's not good. He is good. We gave during Big Suey the stats that compare his first 41 games to Tom Brady, and he's been better than Tom Brady was over his first 41 games. Not by much, but better.
To answer your question, I believe it's the eighth time I've done this.
Here's what I know. As a Browns fan, since he returned to the NFL, I've never had an offense that can get 75 yards in four plays. And he's a quarterback behind that. I also don't understand why he and Odell Beckham Jr. just cannot get on the same page, because statistically, he's just so much better without Beckham on the field. That's the quarterback that was second in Rookie of the Year to Saquon Barkley that we thought, okay, this guy's going to be around for a while, and as long as you have him, you're going to be good.
Was it weather, though, with him before week 7, or was it that he was injured, that he had some
problems? Well, he also had cracked ribs.
They have to conceal that stuff. Can you imagine trying to play that position with cracked ribs? So, yeah, how the hell are you supposed to do – how are you supposed to make an assessment on a quarterback when he's playing with cracked ribs, when Drew Brees has got 11 cracked ribs and he's missed a month of football?
There's a lot of injuries on that Browns team. It's just not sexy because the Browns just sort of burst onto the scene. It's really difficult to make an evaluation on a quarterback with cracked ribs, with his weapons all hurt.
And the weather.
And gale force winds.
But, Mike, there were two games where there was no way he was going to put up numbers in those games because of that weather. If you take those two games out and look at the five games around those two games, 13 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Like, the criticism was he turns the ball over too much. And for the season, he's only thrown 8 interceptions.
But that also coincides with Beckham leaving, does it not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had arguably his greatest game as a professional the moment after Odell Beckham Jr. tore his ACL, chasing down an interception once again, targeting Odell Beckham Jr. And then he's off to the races. And this Tennessee game that he had 2 weeks ago was one of the top games we've seen in the NFL. And look, he's gotten better week over week, and the team has. They put up 6 points against the Ravens week 1. They just put up 42 on them. That should have been enough to end the Ravens season, but Lamar Jackson is just, I mean, that was the MVP last night.
Avatard.
What do you want to do? Listen to your gut. You have good instincts. What do you want to do?
Stugatz.
My gut wants to eat nachos.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Greg Cody, giving the straight talk, is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
He's not in his chair. I don't know where Greg Cody is. Greg Cody's voice was a total disaster in the Big Suey. And as an added bonus, no back in my day today. He says, this is what he says. I had a terrific idea. Turns out it was so terrific, I did it in November of 2017. So on top of having a bad voice, on top of being lazy and entitled, Greg Cody is also in reruns and has run out of ideas. And he's not in his chair to do the show the way he's supposed to because he has to get a 100th cup of coffee.
I think that's the most important thing. You might be angered by the lack of a back in my day. We are doing live radio right now. He's not there. I mean,
that is correct. He has just returned now to the Zoom. I'm sure he will pepper us with insights not heard anywhere else in the globe. I want to ask the audience and just the shipping container here, what happened to this whole thing about Lamar Jackson can't play that way because he's going to get hurt? Didn't we spend a lot of time wondering about that? Where did that go? Where did it, the idea that you can't play the quarterback position that way, it'll be an RG3 situation. You'll wreck a knee, you'll tear a ligament, your body will break. You can't play that way.
I mean, you're calling the race after a season and a half?
I'm just saying that I don't hear those questions anymore.
They were fair questions headed into Lamar Jackson's campaign as a quarterback of the NFL just because we've seen running quarterbacks get hurt before.
What I'm saying to you is I have seen enough from Lamar Jackson that those questions seem to have disappeared. They vanished. It's not like I hear a whole lot of people. The guy just won the MVP. He played a game to save their season last night. And for those of you, and there has been a regression this year, it's been a COVID regression. Like, they've been missing a lot of players all over the field on both sides of the ball.
Well, it's also a tactical one. They're doing different things. They know he wants to throw down the middle of the field because it tests his accuracy the least because he's throwing in a straight line. So you're seeing every defense, even bad ones like Cleveland, just sell out on the middle of the field and force him to throw outside the numbers. He's obviously got the athleticism right now to overcompensate in droves. I mean, he decided to throw that ball, but he would have made the first down if he decided to run it. It's just the hits, you got to imagine, by degrees, will start whittling away at that athleticism, and you'll have to depend on that arm a little bit more. But that's 3, 4, 5 years down the line.
But to Dan's original point, he has carried, over the last two seasons, he's carried the ball nearly 300 times, probably over 300 times. He hasn't missed a game.
He's also gotten a lot bigger than he was in college.
One of the things that I found marvelous about Russell Wilson early in his career is that somehow he'd be playing a style similar to that, and he'd never get hit hard, ever. How often do you see Lamar Jackson really...
Not often.
...really hit hard? There was... He broke into the secondary yesterday. You can get hurt any number of ways. He was dragged down in a way that at some point that you're increasing the odds of getting hurt if you play that way. I just do feel like those questions have largely vanished. Anybody can get hurt on any play, but the idea that you can't play the style without getting hurt has been eradicated. I can't say eradicated because it'll return if he gets hurt, but over a season and a half, those questions have faded away.
Well, the NFL's done everything they can to make sure that players like Lamar Jackson stay healthy. I mean, their quarterback now is protected so much in the pocket that you can't body slam a quarterback. You can't hit his helmet. I mean, there's so many ways quarterbacks are protected. And when they're running the ball, if they know properly how to slide and not be tackled, you really have to be a pretty reckless quarterback to be in great harm every time you scramble.
There are certain quarterbacks, Greg's right about that, it should not be discounted. Like Kyler Murray is a scrambling quarterback. He can throw the ball, but you don't see Kyler Murray. Like, guys don't square up and hit Kyler Murray, maybe occasionally, but he has the slide down, perhaps because he was a baseball player, at certain guys, and I think Lamar Jackson might be one of those guys, Russell Wilson, they just know how to position their body in a way that you're never going to get a clean, solid hit on them, and it's a skill.
With Lamar, for the most part, is you can't hit what you can't catch. He's just so much faster than everybody, and he's got this frame that looked a little slimmer in college, but he's bulked up, and he's not fun to hit. Like, he took a big shot, and it hurt delivering it.
Can you guys help me on the sound of Smokey Robinson yesterday and why it is that he was trending? Because I can we get credit Cameo for this and just play it, or do we have to ask for permission? Because, Stugatz, you have not heard this. I can tell from the fact that you haven't reacted in any way to what it is that I'm saying, but I believe that you specifically are going to burst out laughing. I think many of you saw yesterday that Smokey Robinson was trending and immediately got scared, as we often do, that he had died. Mike, are we allowed to play this sound? Has it been cleared yet?
Let's try to clear it, because I know Cameo has usually been pretty great with the clearance, as long as you just credit Cameo. But yeah, this is a slow burn of a video. I was trying to figure out what was so funny about this video. It's one of those wait for it instances, yes, and it delivers.
Okay, but given the relationship, given that Stugatz is presently in negotiations with Cameo, given that this show has spent 3 days talking about Cameo, I feel like I should just be getting permission to play in the next segment this sound that I believe will delight Stugatz.
Would you like me to text the owners? I have things set up. I'm shooting videos today. I mean, we are inching closer to Cameo Day.
Okay, well, I do want to play this for Stugatz since he hasn't heard it, because it's funny. But before we go any more down this path, I've been remiss in 2 days here not mentioning, because we've talked a lot about COVID and a lot about sports going on during COVID and the dangers of that, and I have found interesting how hard it is to discuss right now what you are seeing with Florida player Keyontae Johnson, who his grandfather says he's in a medically induced coma after falling on the court during a timeout, just sort of collapsing on the court. And he's somebody who had COVID. We told you before, with Al Blades at the University of Miami, the heart issues that can be present because of this. And I don't know how to discuss this.
Right.
Because if a player ends up dying on the court and it's not Hank Gathers where you see it and immediately pronounce dead, we continue to move on. The more days that go by where there's not the appalling video that you can say, I just watched someone die. I just watched somebody playing sports die. We were talking when COVID first made an appearance about what needs to happen for people to be like, we really shouldn't be doing sports during this time, as, you know, there's Tulum is having a 17-day festival that's going to be a super spreader event. But basically, these sporting events that we're doing all the time, even with the testing, we are increasing the chances in a way that seems scientifically irresponsible on some of this stuff. And when I tell you grandfather's saying medically induced coma for a college basketball season that was just forced out there because we got to get to the dollars and it's supposed to be amateurism, but it's not. When the cost is a human life, or when the cost is it's not enough, right? A medically induced coma, if the grandfather has it right on this, not enough, right, to shock you into like, hey, maybe we shouldn't be doing all of this.
They finished that game. The players played the remainder of that game, and the college basketball season's going to go on. And I think the reason it's tricky to talk about is we have no idea if it is related to COVID at all. We have no idea.
We don't know, but that's a nice and convenient rationalization.
You're
to
right.
make us
You're
feel
totally
better
right.
about it, because yep. we do know that he and his teammates had COVID, and we do know that he hasn't been collapsing on the court.
Yeah.
That he had it this summer. But that's, I imagine a lot of people yes. are doing that one to feel better about it. Just, well, we don't know it was COVID. Okay. But when I see medically induced coma, like, what do I have to make it to give you pause? I'm asking sports fans this. Do I have to, make it death, right? Even the phrase medically induced coma doesn't do it for you.
Well, if he dies and we do find out that COVID was a part of it with his heart, are we going to stop playing college basketball this season?
I don't know what needs to make the money train stop. I haven't seen it yet, but if collapsing on a court and medically induced coma doesn't do it for you in terms of giving you some kind of pause, then we got to keep going more steps. I got to see a death on the court. I got to see a death on the court, and doctors say, yeah, it's COVID, and confirm it for you, and then what? You think basketball is going to stop? Because I'm not sure anything's stopping the money train.
Don Lebatard.
You can't have fun when you're old?
Stugatz.
Look at me. I'm having a ball. Balling it.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
The Dan Lebatard Show is brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
Do I get it, Mike? Is that what you really whispered in my ear? Do I get it?
And mine in the middle of a read.
This, of course, is Smokey Robinson. We will get to that Smokey Robinson sound in a second. We're feuding with Larry Zonka.
What?
Yeah. There's a new element to the feud. He has called us. Somebody wrote in to him the other day saying, hey, why were you so mean to the Lebatard Show in that interview 15 years ago? And his response was, they're a bunch of peckerheads. That is
that's a perfect response.
What Larry Zonka had to say about us.
When you say wrote into him, I don't imagine him having a computer like they sent him a letter.
I know what you're saying there. I understand what you're saying. I also can't imagine Larry Zonka getting on Twitter, but he got on Twitter and he called us peckerheads, and we will come back to that story in a second. But we've got to get to Christine Lisi. Let's do the kazoos.
And finally, falling in love has similar neurological effects as cocaine. Speaking of, Mike, sorry about your Browns.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. Again, wow. Coming in 2 days. Mike, yes. Christine, did you see that sound of Josh Allen before the game because Juju had danced on the logo saying, let them do all the bleeping dancing. All we do is work.
I think I did see that. I don't know what montage I saw, but I did see that. Yes.
And how did you feel about it? Did you get moved by it? Because Buffalo loves to be all about that work as a taunt. It's not much of a taunt to say all I am is about work.
He was just firing everybody up. We won. That's all that matters.
That
right?
is all that matters. That
they
is
have a
correct.
Better record. Though.
That is the way that Stugatz does the measurements. They won. That is the only thing that matters. Bomani is feuding with Josh Allen fans, and in a weird development, Josh Allen fans, to show Bomani that they're actually not awful people, have started donating randomly to a diaper drive and have raised over like $5,000 in a way that's wow. Kind of a beautiful way for Bomani to hate on the Bills and the Bills to hate him back, and it results in diapers for kids who need diapers. Let's get to this Smokey Robinson sound. Whoever it is that purchased this, I don't know what it costs to get Smokey Robinson to deliver a personal message, but this is 1,000 times better than whatever it is that you spent on it, even if you spent $1 million. Because here is Smokey Robinson on Cameo pronouncing a word in a way that's unusual.
Hey, Marco, how you doing? Surprise, surprise. This is Smokey Robinson. I know you didn't expect to hear from me, but I was contacted by your sons, Jeff and Jared, and they told me that you used to live in Detroit across the street from me, and gosh, that's beautiful. How are you doing again? Nice talking to you again, I guess. But anyway, you're living in Vancouver now, and they wanted me to wish you happy Chinooka. I have no idea what Chinooka is, but happy Chinooka because they said so. Anyway, God bless you, babe, and enjoy Chinooka. Have a wonderful time.
That was $350.
Whatever they paid for it was not enough. You got three Chinookas in the Zoom call. I'm looking at you guys. Greg, Cody, wait a minute. Greg, and it would be so much better to hear your coughing laughter. You are red-faced. You just...
Oh, no. I don't know if that's better.
Happy Chinooka.
Chinooka.
Happy Chinooka. Happy Chinooka.
How do you get to Smokey Robinson's name? I'm not going to say it's the most normal thing in the world to make a C silent on CH, because I can understand the mistake being made. I just don't understand how you get to Smokey Robinson's age without knowing that Hanukkah has a spelling you might not be familiar with.
Happy Chanukka.
It's great.
It's the funniest possible way that you can pronounce that spelling.
Happy Chanukka.
The Festival of Lights.
All right, can we just imagine for a moment, let's come up with an imagined hypothetical on what this holiday is actually for.
Happy Chanukka.
Like, what do you, if someone is wishing you a happy Chanukka, what are they, what, instead of Hanukkah, what are they actually wishing you?
And enjoy Chanukka.
he said it three times. I mean, for $115 a pop, you got three Chanukkas there, basically.
I have no idea what Chanukka is.
I'm Jewish.
I have never seen Greg Cody laugh like that. His right arm went from well behind him all the way to slapping his knee.
I have no idea what Chanukka is.
I mean, seriously, Smokey has got to be 80 years old. He's lived a long life. He doesn't know how to pronounce Hanukkah. He makes it sound like a word from the Eskimo language. I feel like Chanukka probably means something in Eskimo.
Happy Chanukka.
This show ain't free. Time for some ads.
He is 80. Like, he's never stumbled upon someone in all his life that said Hanukkah to him.
I mean, Happy Chanukka.
I'm not going to say that the first time I saw the word Hanukkah spelled, I wasn't confused, because I was. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, please, at Lebatard Show. Were you confused the first time you saw the word Hanukkah spelled? But Chanukka, man, good God.
And enjoy Chanukka.
$350. I can't wait to be on Cameo.
Don Lebatard.
I eat butt all the time.
Stugatz.
Big P fan.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Lebatard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Jeff Walker, who could be a Twitter bot for two reasons. First, his Twitter handle, at JeffWaugh75983647. Secondly, because of his tweet, Greg Cody is a national treasure who is criminally underappreciated and will be desperately missed when he is gone.
Whoa!
Wow. That could be any minute, by the way.
What just happened there? We know there's no need to kill Greg Cody. Greg Cody is here. He's got opinions. You can enjoy him for the remainder of your Tuesday.
He's doing a good enough job of killing himself on his own.
He really is. It's the cigars. It's the beer. He sounds somehow worse than he ever has. We are steadily listening to his deterioration in a way that is obvious. It's indisputable. I want to talk to you guys about something that happened last night, because what Stugatz did upon arrival here was amusing. But I need some help, because I'm not totally sure I'm not being fooled by the internet. A listener has sent us a 9-team parlay.
Oh, no.
A 9-team parlay that listener had last night, betting $2 to win $1,050, which I think actually is something that can happen with an odds of you got to go 9-0. If in your parlay you go 8-1, you lose.
Oh, it can absolutely happen.
But $2, it sounded like too much money, but he sends this tweet and he's got everything right. Lamar Jackson to score a touchdown, over on rushing yards. He's got a high scoring game. So he's gone 8-0. And the 9 is, he had Browns and 3 points. Ooh. He had for the game, the Browns as a 3-point underdog. If you were watching that game, and Stugatz learned this upon getting here today, Stugatz gets here and he's like, wait a minute, How was it that that game ended up being a five-point game instead of a three-point game?
I had the Browns, like many people. I saw Scott Van Pelt and Stanford Steve talking about this after the game, bad beats, at plus 3.5. I mean, and I woke up and I'm like, what? Five? How? How did that happen? And Mike explained to me how it happened.
Bunch of crazy laterals. With maybe skill guys that aren't the fastest. And it ends with Jarvis Landry getting caught in the end zone and just simply running out of the back of the end zone. And 2 points. That's a winner for the Ravens.
That's such a bad beat.
It is. It's terrible. It's so terrifying when that starts happening. You've got a game where you're winning all the time throughout the game. And then all of a sudden the laterals start at the end of the game.
Well, certainly. I mean, there were times like the Ravens were up 14 at one point in that game. But when Justin Tucker kicks that field, you just figure it's over. Like, hey, okay, great game. You watched it. I'm not a Browns fan. I don't care. But I'm on the right side of the bet here. And then you realize, you go to sleep and realize that Jarvis Landry did that.
What happened this weekend? Was it? It was one of those Michigan teams. I don't know whether it was Central Michigan, Western Michigan, Eastern Michigan, Ball State. What did you see this, Stugatz?
No.
Because there was a lateral situation in that game, and it looked for a moment like the ball had been pounced on, the game was over, and I believe it was the Central Michigan bench. Western Michigan bench that comes rushing out onto the field, but the play wasn't over. The ball squirted out, and so you had a Stanford band situation. But I don't know what happened with the rest of the play because there was a guy running toward the end zone, and it could have been one of these seismic, epic, remember forever moments on how a college football game ends, but it didn't end up resulting in an actual touchdown.
Well, it looked as though the Western, and I still have no idea exactly what happened. It was actually the Ball State team that ran out, and the Western Michigan player is weaving in and out of Ball State players. There's like 30 people on the field at this point, and he takes it all the way to the end zone. But the final score reflects that Ball State did indeed won. Had that touchdown stood, Western Michigan would have won. So it got called back, but I haven't seen that since the Cal Stanford highlights.
There were about 50 players on the field who did not belong on the field that were out on the field celebrating, and then all of a sudden it just became hugely confusing as to who had the ball, where is the ball, who do we need to tackle, and then there's a guy running by himself toward the end zone.
I know it's funny to have people lose in a way that is painful, bad beats, hence the segment. Great idea by Scott Van Pelt and Stanford Steve, but why not great victories? Because if you had the Ravens last night, oh, that must have been incredible. And I'm never on the right side of those, ever.
It was a pretty awesome way to start SportsCenter, which is just, you know, SVP and like the one benchmark every night that he does, and it's just him just smiling. That's why we do the segment.
So very quietly, Greg Cody of the Miami Herald, distinguished journalist, a man who can speak with some depth on social issues of some import. Greg Cody came in today, hacking and coughing and wheezing, but dying to talk, not literally, but dying to talk about how it is that the Cleveland baseball team, pretty quietly on Sunday night, it was reported they're changing their name, no more Indian.
They'll be under that name for one more season, then they'll change it after this upcoming season.
And so this was a bit of a surprise after the summer we had, and Greg Cody's got thoughts on that matter, so have at it.
Yeah, I was interested that they did that when they did, very quietly. I want their new nickname.
You're listening to Dan, Stu, and Cody on ESPN Radio.